Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
We got to do the news, Doug, but how about them Broncos?
How about them Broncos? I tell you what, Bob, I'm on the verge of actually watching a football game for the first time in about 5 years.
All right. Now, my family and I, we gave up on football January of 2000.
2000?
We had not watched the NFL since then, including the Broncos, of course, until the last 5 games we've been watching.
Yeah.
And we've been having a good time.
Well, I gave up on football when Ray Lewis, I forget what he is, with the Baltimore Ravens, he was busted in a parking lot. There was a dead guy, and him and his 3 friends had the dead guy's blood all over them, and none of them were convicted. And I thought, I just can't watch this anymore.
Yeah.
After OJ and all of that.
I gave up on the NBA when they let a woman play, Denise Rodman. I gave up then.
I do have bad news that the NBA season is apparently on.
Yes,
that's too bad. But
so we've been having a good time. It is so fun when the second half, we were at our kids' hockey game.
Yeah.
And there's a TV in the lobby of the hockey rink. And the place is packed with people watching. And the score, it's the fourth quarter, and it's 29-22.
Yeah.
And everybody's saying, perfect. This is exactly what we want.
We got them right where we want them.
We got them right where they're winning. They're up by 8. Were they up by 8? It was 29-21.
Yeah.
Because Tebow led a drive. We got a touchdown, and then they ran for the 2-point.
That's right. The 2-point conversion.
It was just so much fun.
I'm praising the Lord because to hear Tebow give credit to first his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then his teammates and his coaches.
Yeah.
He just doesn't seem like he has any ego or any...
Yeah, and even the coaches who are dissing him.
Yeah.
You know, executive vice president of football operations, who doesn't quite know if Tebow really has what it takes.
Are you talking about John Elway?
To be a franchise player.
Are you talking about John Elway?
Yeah.
Listen to this. Now, think of this possibility. I know you're a sports fan out there, my other brother Darryl. Listen to this. The possibility is that Tim Tebow could achieve more fourth-quarter comebacks and defeat the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl in his very first season. It took John Elway 20 years to do that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's a possibility.
It's
an outside possibility.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And to have a role model for our kids, because we like our boys. We got 7 boys. 4 of them are grown.
Yeah.
3 are still at home. But we like them to have... You know, people they could look up to, and it's been pretty difficult in sports.
No, now didn't Dennis Rodman? Wasn't it his opinion that he was not a role model, or was that Charles Barkley? I forget. They said, "Hey, we're not role models."
Right, and you know what? You don't get to choose that.
Wow.
When you are in the spotlight, you are a role model for better or worse, and for worse means you're hurting children, and God is angry at you.
Yeah,
that's what for worse means, because God gets upset when people hurt the innocent. And especially when they hurt children.
Wow, that's a great point. You know, some men strive for greatness. Others have greatness thrust upon them.
Mm.
You end up in the spotlight every night or every week in a professional sports team.
Right.
You are a role model whether you like it or not.
You are. And that's why so many of our kids in America are struggling or suffering because our culture, Hollywood, they couldn't care less how they hurt children.
Mm.
And so Disney, you know, we pointed out often on the show, but Tim Tebow, I mean, the Tebow family is so great.
Oh, it's incredible. And can I bring up, I hate to interrupt, Bob.
But?
Until yesterday, I didn't know if Tim Tebow's father was alive, because I've never heard him mentioned ever in the media. I'm not a big sports guy.
Right.
Just never heard him mentioned. So I did a Google search to find out if Tim Tebow's dad was alive. Yeah. How come nobody talks about
it? Well, Pam Tebow endorsed the personhood amendment in Colorado.
Right. And we know that there is a media blackout on ever mentioning fathers generally. Mm. That they just never mention fathers unless they've done something horrible.
Well, ever since Tiger Woods' dad said that his son was the second coming of the Messiah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was in Sports Illustrated.
Mm-hmm.
He said his son would succeed where Jesus, Muhammad, had failed.
Yeah.
That's Tiger Woods' dad.
Okay.
I mean, no wonder.
So he gets mentioned. Anyway, yeah. I believe it's Bob or Bill Tebow. I can't remember. He's alive and kicking. He's got a full-on ministry in the Philippines.
It's Mr. Tebow.
It's Mr. Tebow. There
and Mr. Tebow brought his family to the Philippines as Christian missionaries.
Yeah.
That's where Tim was born. That's why he's building a hospital there.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And I looked at his dad's website, and it's quite possible. Now, I need to do some more research.
Yeah.
It's possible that they could take a young Earth creationist view. Definitely creationist.
So great, Doug.
Well, I've got to look into
it. It just keeps getting better and better, because remember during the Super Bowl last year, Tim Tebow and his mom, they did that ad.
Right.
And it was a life-affirming ad. It was very soft and gentle, and Planned Parenthood went ballistic.
Oh, they freaked out.
They just hated it. It's a fun ad. It's on Colorado Right to Life's website.
Yeah.
Just click on, I think, the Personhood Archives link, and you can see the ad. It's fun. And then it links to a website that teaches people to affirm life, and God made us in his image and likeness. Yeah. So it was a great ad.
No, the ad itself, when you watched it, you just couldn't help but wonder, why all the vitriol? It seems so tame and innocent.
It was so tame and so innocent. So the family is Christian, and they're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Normally, in public, when you hear the Lord's name mentioned, it's in vain.
Mm-hmm.
Normally.
Especially from athletes.
Especially athletes, especially Hollywood. And you know what's sad to say? Especially, I hear it a lot from Christians. And I'm not going to say which, but certain denominations of Christians.
No.
I don't mean the post-Christian ones, like the United Methodists.
Okay, we're not.
I'm not talking about people who ordain homosexuals and kill unborn children, raise money for abortions.
Okay.
I'm not talking about
You're
them,
talking about
but actual...
actual
Christians.
Okay.
I'm thinking of one denomination in particular where I hear members, and I've noticed this for, I bet you, 20 years now since I've been on the air, that they mention Jesus, God, just as almost like an expletive.
Mm.
Like if something's not going their way, they'll say Jesus, and they're not speaking to him. When you mention God, you should be speaking to him or about him.
Amen.
Not as just a filler or a soft expletive. That's profaning the name of the Lord.
Mm.
That's what profanity means, to take something holy and make it common.
Profanity.
That's profane.
Wow.
So when you hear Tim Tebow thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he is mentioning the Lord's name, but he's not blaspheming God.
Right. And that seems to annoy the left a lot.
It annoys some
people. The fact that he's not blaspheming.
I've probably read 10 sports columns in the last month.
Yeah? Well, that's got to be a record.
In the last 10 years, I've read 10.
I was going to say.
So in the last 10, and it's been fun. Woody Page from Denver, a longtime sports writer. In one column, the lead was, because the quarterback for the Vikings was Christian Ponder.
Uh-huh.
And he and Tebow had been, they'd been competitors in Florida for years. And Tebow's team would always trounce Ponder's team.
Oh.
The lead of this column was Christian versus Christian.
That's
Christian
good.
Ponder versus Tim Tebow, who's a Christian.
I wasn't aware. By the way, if you want to call in and sound off on this topic or any other, the number to call is 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-8-NYART if you want to join in, yay or nay. Now, I was not aware that Tim Tebow had attracted so much vitriol in the sports press. I don't follow sports, but I heard Tom Tancredo talk about it at the Colorado Right to Life banquet.
That's right.
And I was like, why is Tom bringing this up? And I didn't realize at the time that people had kind of taken sides.
Right.
And basically, one camp had predicted Tebow's failure, and now it seems like he better fail.
And they wanted him to fail.
They wanted him.
Yeah.
And then the other side was at least... Either positive or at least just criticizing him in sports type things like he's not the greatest passer.
Could I psychoanalyze John Elway? I like to psychoanalyze.
And I want to give you my two cents as
well.
Well,
do
no.
After
your psychoanalysis. Here's the thing, John. No matter whatever happens in history, unless you do something morally reprehensible, John, you will always be the king of football in Colorado. You don't have to worry about being eclipsed by this young guy because you have what you have. And the only way you're going to lose that, John, is through some moral failing. If you do something horrible.
Well, that's a good point. And like OJ.
If you do something like OJ, you're going to lose it all. But otherwise, right. John, you achieved incredible things.
And so you don't have to be little. You don't have to have envy.
How about be a part of the next big thing? And maybe it's bigger than you, maybe it's not. I don't know, but I know one thing. If I had a protege, I would want him to eclipse me. Wouldn't that be a sign that you're a great...
Absolutely. Right? Even in business, you want to...
Absolutely.
You want to prepare your successor. Your children, you want them to succeed far beyond what you have succeeded.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I think of Karl Rove, the
evil demon
executive
from
vice president of football operations for the Broncos, Karl Rove.
What?
Oh, no, wait. Karl Rove was Bush's brain, right?
But something like that.
But they remind me of one another because Karl Rove has a knee-jerk dismissal of any Republican presidential candidate who's not part of the system.
Ah, okay. Okay.
You've got to be part of the system, and you have to come up. He's been noticing you for years, and he approves of you. Because if somebody comes from the sidelines, like, say, Alan Keyes, Karl Rove would hate Alan Keyes.
Because I think he's on record.
He's an outsider.
Yeah.
John Elway, he didn't select Tim Tebow.
Right.
He didn't have his eye on him. He wasn't in his camp all those years. And so John Elway would like the Broncos to be successful because of John Elway, just like Karl Rove wants Republicans to win, regardless of how wicked they are, like Mitt Romney, but because it's an inside guy.
Mm. Wow.
That's my take on it. And the fact that Tebow is so openly Christian.
Yeah.
I think that annoys Elway.
I think, you know, and I don't know about Elway's spiritual life, but I know that he's had some moral failings over the years, like all of us.
Yeah.
He's polluted
and like
corrupted.
Me.
Polluted and corrupted by a fallen world. And Tebow just hasn't been as polluted and corrupted. And
right.
So he's so pure. And I mean, I'm sure he's, I'm not saying he's a perfect person.
Right. He's got to be a mess.
He doesn't
right?
have the baggage you and
Jesus.
I have, right?
Oh, absolutely
or John.
Not. But Jesus came to save the lost.
Amen.
And we're all lost. And we all deserve eternal separation from God, including Tim Tebow. I mean, it is funny. Sometimes I hear people talk, and it sounds like Christians. It sounds like Tim Tebow is the second coming.
Right.
Tim Tebow is such a relief and a joy.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
Blessing and a pleasure to listen to and to watch. Mm. And when he's down by 8 points in the fourth quarter and there's 9.5 minutes, it's like it's the script. One of the announcers said, okay, we're right on script. I feel bad for Minnesota because the Broncos are down by 8 in the fourth.
I just loved it when I don't know if Tim Tebow ever played basketball, but he literally dribbled one of those defensive linemen.
Oh, yeah.
He dribbled him off the off the turf before he passed the ball. That was beautiful.
That was an amazing play.
Yeah. Anyway, people questioning Tim Tebow's ability to compete in the NFL are probably going to have to.
So, but we're supposed to be doing the news. So we could do the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Well, we've done the good, right?
All right.
Tim Tebow is a good thing for sports, a good thing for Denver. And wherever he goes, John, that's where I'll be a fan. Just want to let John Elway know that.
Yeah.
Wherever he goes, I'll go.
Well,
I mean, I won't move there.
I mean, for Elway, Woody Page, I've known of Woody for 20 years. He's been on talk radio, sports radio. He's a sports columnist in Denver. In his column, he just comes out and says, look, there just can't be any doubt that Tim Tebow is the franchise player for the Denver Broncos. And if there's any doubt in the executive offices, those guys have just lost it. And that's what, you know, a growing camp. In fact, one of the announcers, I don't know their names. I don't watch enough.
Yeah.
But one of the two announcers, not the top billed one, who's been a Tebow fan for years now.
Okay.
But the second guy, in the fourth quarter, after Tebow made a great play, he said, all right, I'm in.
I love it.
He said, I'm in.
Well, did you hear John Fox after the game? He said, Timmy's young, and he's only going to get better. It sounds like John Fox is in, and that's the coach, right?
Yeah, that's really great. One other thing before we get to the bad and the ugly.
And I just want to point, I thought that many in the media were calling Tim Tebow Timmy as an insult until I read Tim's dad's website.
Oh.
And apparently the whole family calls him Timmy because he's the baby. He's the youngest of the whole crew.
Yeah.
It's not a
and it's
a term of endearment.
It's an innocence.
Yeah.
And so he was asked, this goes back three games when he won in the last few minutes of the game.
Raiders.
And it was, you know, so much fun. And the interviews he did on NFL TV and on, I don't know who was carrying it, CBS, and the interviews went on forever. And they were fabulous. And they got their five guys, Hall of Famers and coaches and all, former quarterbacks. And they just are dubbing Tim Tebow as the king of the NFL. They're crowning him king.
Well,
for 15 minutes, they let him talk. And then he goes. And for another 15 minutes, they're just praising him, which was so neat. And then he got with the local guys. And he talked with them for as long as they wanted to talk.
Yeah.
Like a half hour after the game interview. And one thing was said neat. One of the local Denver reporters brought up somebody who had criticized Tim.
Yeah.
And they said, so are you going to tweet against so-and-so who said such and such?
Oh, yeah. The tweet battles in sports. I've followed some of those.
And he said, no, but I think I am going to tweet. And then he mentioned a local guy.
Yeah.
And he said, and this guy had published that if Tebow wins on Sunday, I'm going to go to church. And so Tim said, I think I am going to tweet. And I don't know the guy's name. I don't know if it was like John Howard or something. And he said, I'm going to tweet and say, John, I'm looking forward to you in church. I wear your Sunday go to meeting best. We're going to have a great praise and worship time. And, you know, somebody in the secular world, they wouldn't know what praise and worship time. I mean, they know it if you say it, but they wouldn't use those terms.
No, certainly not. No.
But
Tim's familiar.
We're going to have a great praise and worship time. So wear your Sunday, go to meeting best. I'm looking forward to seeing you at church.
Oh, man. We all need to pray for Tim because we know that the world is full of temptations, especially at the level he's operating on.
Yeah.
So just keep him in prayer, lift him up.
There was a woman in the stands. Now, the game was not a home game, right? It was on the road. It was in Minnesota.
Yes, the Homer Dome.
And there was a woman with a big sign. They showed it on what was it, on CBS?
I didn't watch the game.
ESPN? So you saw the clips.
I watched the highlights.
Yeah. So a woman had a big sign, and it said, Tebow, will you marry me?
Well, yeah.
So, yeah, of course, plenty of temptations.
But, yeah, definitely got to lift him up. But just thank God for his parents and the job they did at just preparing this young man to go out in the world and be a witness for Jesus Christ, whatever he ended up doing, and he's ended up becoming the king of the NFL.
All right, so the good, the bad,
that's
and the
good.
Ugly.
Well, so that, I got some bad.
That was the good.
I got some bad. This is from Boston. Have you heard the
story?
Say
no more. It's from Boston.
Well, a college professor, a math professor, she's been arrested for running a meth lab.
A woman.
Yeah.
Is this Ward Churchill's sister?
I don't know.
Is it Pat Sullivan's sister?
Oh, now see, you're jumping ahead to the ugly. Now wait. No, we don't have any more details. I only reason I bring this up is because I did my show yesterday, and I had three stories about college professors, two or three stories in
a row.
Well,
let's tell people how to tune in to your show.
Oh, just go to theweeklyworldview.com.
Weeklyworldview.com.
Yeah, we need viewers, too. Because revenues are low. The show may end if we don't get more, not viewers, listeners.
Oh.
Anyways, go to the Weekly Worldview. Or just, I post it on Facebook every week.
Yeah.
And I think I've probably offended just about everyone who listened. And so they gradually, so we need an infusion of new listeners.
Doug, wasn't it about 10 years ago you'd say on the show, we don't tolerate advertisers.
Right. We don't take calls and we don't tolerate sponsors.
That's right.
But anyway, I did a couple of stories, Bob, about college professors. And college administration members, we all know what's happened at Syracuse and at Penn State and at the University of Utah. Apparently a professor was caught on a plane viewing just despicable abuse of children on his computer.
Right, child. Yeah, and it's not only the universities, it's also the high schools.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So the depth of depravity that have been reached by the administration in our institutions of higher education, if it ever is revealed, and I believe it's beginning to come out because it's just bursting at the seams, well, parents are going to be shocked.
Kelly and Company, you remember Kelly and Company, Steve Kelly?
Yeah.
Back when we put the world's largest protest sign on the mountain.
I remember.
He was on Fox 31's newscaster.
Right.
And he reported this with the Fox helicopter.
Yeah.
The Sky Fox deal.
Sky Fox.
And it was just great. And he reported it in such a positive and upbeat way.
Yeah.
And shortly after that, he was gone.
Uh-oh. That's right.
And I don't know. You know, I have no idea. But he's now on KNUS in the morning.
Yeah, he's got his
Kelly and Company
show going.
They're just hysterical, those guys.
I'll have to tune in because I wasn't aware.
And Doug, they were asking, how could it be at Penn State? How does this stuff happen with Jerry Sandusky and that he stays there undercover for years? So I called in. I was just a caller, Bob from Arvada, and said, look, our college campuses are a cesspool. They are in moral freefall.
Mm.
In fact, the nation is following them because they educate so many influential people.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not surprising that all these things are happening in the classrooms, even in middle school and grammar school. Where I grew up, we had grammar school.
Well, it's bound to
middle school, high school, college
down immorality from the professors. Eventually, it's in the second grade class.
I'm writing that down.
Trickle down immorality.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to education. And, you know, it's just not to get back to Tim Tebow, because I want to assure my wife, if she's listening, I don't have a crush on him, no matter what you say. I don't, okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, Tim Tebow,
he
went to university. I know that. He went to Florida, something like that,
he's a
right?
Gator, the quarterback. Right?
And he got a...
His seasons were like 13-1.
Yeah.
But he won the Heisman Trophy. We tried to buy O.J. Simpson's Heisman Trophy.
I think Tim Tebow will someday be looked upon not only as the king of the NFL, but as a vindication for homeschool parents who preserve their children's mind and spirit and kept them away from the trickle-down immorality in the grade school, in the middle school, in the high school. By the time Tim Tebow went to college, he was probably able to deal with the pressures, immoralities, temptations, and the wickedness and the lies that they teach.
Right.
So
Much
anyway,
better.
A vindication for homeschoolers.
Hey,
he's the good, that's the bad.
Hey, and just one other point about this Boston professor with her meth lab.
Yeah, and she was running it with her 30-year-old son, by the way, who apparently still lives at home.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So... The Northeast is one of the more godless parts of the country.
Yeah.
And Massachusetts, Boston, you know, the heart of the American War of Independence and all.
Yeah.
They paid their ministers out of the state treasury for decades.
The state of Massachusetts?
Yeah. In fact, they continued doing that until 1833.
Wow.
And that is utterly unbiblical. And it's destructive.
Mm.
You destroy the church when the government funds the church and pays the minister's salaries, because then you know the ministers are not going to do anything that would upset the powers that be.
Oh.
Now,
you know,
paycheck.
Some talk show hosts, Bob, would point out that Massachusetts used to pay their pastors, and look how far they've fallen. Things were better back then.
Oh,
many conservative talk show
hosts might get it completely wrong.
Yeah.
Completely wrong. And of course, there is a separation of church and state. There needs to be. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. I don't want to be arresting people, flogging them, or executing them.
No, certainly.
And I don't want to be a tax collector.
No, absolutely not. And and you'll help people judge on spiritual matters, but not on civil and criminal matters.
So, of course, the separation of church and state that God has in mind is not a hostility toward God from the government. Mm. That's what we have. But there is a valid separation. They're not the same thing, and they're not supposed to be the same thing.
Wow. You know, that's something we should explore on another show, too, because that was kind of a curveball
for me. So that was the bad.
So we've done the good, we've done the bad.
And the ugly.
We've got the ugly. Now, this is a man who, well, Sheriff Pat Sullivan. Okay, I forget if it was 1998, 99 when I was arrested by...
You were thrown in his jail.
Not personally by him, but by his deputies.
I've interacted with him personally. I was thrown in his jail.
Yeah.
When were you in his jail?
It was before it was named after him. That's all I think it was 99-ish.
So Patrick J. Sullivan is now in the Patrick J. Sullivan Correctional Facility?
Yeah, the Patrick J. Sullivan Jr. Detention Facility. That's ironic, right?
They must have an adult wing of that.
Well, no.
Because he's in his own jail.
Well, yeah, but
he's not a juvenile. He would choose to go in the juvenile
if he had his
detention facility.
Yeah.
But he's in the adult one, which I think has the same title.
Yeah, and so Sheriff Pat Sullivan, who I interacted
people
with.
People outside of Colorado might not know what's been going on.
No, and they might have thought he was a hero.
So he's been arrested for trading meth, amphetamines, for homosexual sex from young guys, from young people. And he has been re-addicting people trying to get off of meth.
Right. He was supposedly part of a program to help people get clean.
Yeah.
And
talk about getting clean. He's infected young men with HIV.
No, I hadn't heard that, Bob. I've been out of town. I haven't been following the drip.
Parents on Peter Boyle's show with Tom Martino in the morning on Friday, I heard the parents of one young man who had said he became HIV positive from a government official.
Mm.
Their parents didn't believe him, of course. He's a meth head.
Right, right. It's hard to believe.
He's probably hallucinating.
Yeah.
Turns out a year later, he stopped into their house and he said, my friend's going to pick me up here. And who rings the front door but Pat Sullivan, the sheriff of Arapahoe County, where you and I have been guests.
Yes, we have.
Right? And he comes in and he spends an hour and a half talking with them about how he has a ministry to young guys on meth. And A ministry. Wow. He administers the HIV virus.
Now, if I remember correctly, Pat Sullivan threw out charges against a woman who almost hit you with her car.
Well, Leanne Dexter in Arapahoe County. Yes. She almost hit my one-year-old son, Zachary. He was younger than a year. He was in a stroller.
Yeah, I remember.
We were at a home visit.
Yeah, we were violating the tranquility of a child killer.
Right, because an abortionist, he no longer lives there.
Oh, is that right?
He's no longer an abortionist.
Really?
Yeah, he's not an abortionist any longer. But, Doug, we went there for 10 years, and we were going there frequently. We were there at a home visit, and she drove into her cul-de-sac and got angry, sped up, and veered her car toward us.
Through the crowd.
And I took Zachary in the stroller and swung him out of the way and hit a parked car.
Yeah.
And she came within inches of me and Zachary in the stroller.
Right. And other disinterested parties testified to the cops.
We called 911 immediately.
Yeah.
A deputy came out, Arapahoe County, and he talked to us. He talked to her, and he gave her a ticket for vehicular menacing because he said she told the same story that you guys told.
Yep.
So I know she did it, so she's charged. Monday morning, that was Saturday. Monday morning, Pat Sullivan, who's supposed to be a stand-up law and order guy, he put out a press release. He dropped the charges against her because we were pro-lifers.
That's why.
Because the target of the vehicular menacing were pro-life families.
Yeah.
So he dropped the charges. So, Doug, then we had court in that cul-de-sac.
Oh, yeah, that's
we
right.
We charged ourselves with incompetent protesting.
We found ourselves guilty.
Yeah, and we sentenced ourselves to 100 hours of community service.
That's right.
In that cul-de-sac, learning how to be better pro-life protesters.
And we were there for
and we did
hours.
It. Yes, we did it for 2 years.
And so,
and it turned that neighborhood into a war zone.
Yeah, I remember. It was intense.
It was intense.
What's
that was
the moral
Sullivan.
Of the story, folks? A government that's filled with people who hate God is going to become corrupt and injure and hurt people.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened.
And there's another Pat Sullivan story.
There is.
He came out to visit us on the scene. We'll get to that someday. KGov.com.
Children are a blessing from God. But when parents reject and ignore His wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.